Father, we just humbly and reverently approach thy word this evening. Father, we're here for communion. Not only of the taking of the elements, but of communing with you in truth and spirit. And Lord, help us, O God, to come to that place where you can look down upon us and be proud of your children and proud of the stand that we've taken for your word. Help us, O God, to be finished in our conforming to the image of your firstborn Son. And help us, O God, to be ready for the going home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this evening we're going to look at an attribute of God that is very important for the safety and security of God's elect seed. That is, that God's elect seed will know the two spirits and they will not be deceived. We're living in an age that's the age of deception. It's an age where everywhere you look, in business, education, politics, churches, just about everywhere you look, there's deception going on. And yet, we have a promise that we will not be deceived. We take our verse tonight, Matthew 24 and 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Notice, if it were possible, therefore it's not possible. Now, to understand the scripture, Brother Brand preached a sermon called False Anointed Ones at the End Time. And in it, he told us the key to understanding this scripture is that they are called false Christs and false prophets. The anointing is genuine. And they are indeed anointed prophets or preachers of the word. But what they are identified as being false. Why? Because what they say is false. In other words, there is a genuine anointing, but they are false to the word. They are lying prophets. They are lying anointed ones. They are false to the word of God. Brother Ram calls them false teachers as false prophets. From anointed ones at the end times, and anointed ones, Christ in the last days, but the false teachers as false prophets. Notice how striking. Now, I want you to compare this. We haven't got time to read it out. Matthew 24:24 with 2 Timothy 3:8, Matthew 24:24 said, in the last days, see, there'll come false Christs as false anointed ones, false prophets, and shall show signs and wonders exactly like the real one, and shall almost deceive the very elected. Now, Brother Brown mentioned in the quote above, both Matthew 24:24, which we read, and 2 Timothy 3:8, which we can turn in our Bibles to read for ourselves. Now, 2 Timothy 3 and 1, we begin. This know also that in the last days, we're going to take break these down, the last days, perilous times shall come. Notice this verse tells us a whole lot about the end time. Number one, it tells us that when it will happen in the last days. And number two, it will tell us what the atmosphere of this end time will be like. It will be perilous times. Then we read on, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Notice the attribute called out, self-serving, self-centered, self-centric, and as such, they will be covetous. Now, the word covetous means inordinately desirous of wealth or possessions. In other words, greedy. And if that's not what we're seeing in the papers almost every day about our politicians, and we find that about most, well, I won't say most, but I mean, we actually saw a big, in the 80s and 90s, it was especially rampant with the televangelists and their greed. You know, minister is making $40 million a year. And of course, that leads us to the next attribute. Excuse me. It says, and not only greed, but they will be boasters. That means they speak with exaggeration and excessive pride concerning themselves. And of course, that leads us to the next attribute of the people at the end time. It says they are proud, which means they have an overly high opinion of themselves. And honestly, if you understand the sovereignty of God, how can you have a high opinion of yourself? You can't. You have a high opinion of Him. Now, we know this is totally contrary to God's seed, who have only God's opinion, and they hold to God's values. In fact, Scripture warns us that pride will lead to a fall. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And because they are proud, they become blasphemers. Notice that pride leads to blasphemy. The word blasphemy comes from two words, blepto and phema, which speaks of irreverent speech towards God and the things of God. And then when we see a whole lot of other attributes, such as disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, there's your LGBT people, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means they cannot contain themselves concerning sexual activity, and that's what's in the papers every day. They're getting ready to indict Hillary for this very same thing that her husband is going to be indicted for. Pedophilia. The New York Police Department, the NYPD, is getting ready to indict. It's terrible what's going on, but this is the end time. These are attributes. Notice, truth breakers, false accusers, and incontinent. They can't contain themselves sexually. And they're fierce. And look at this next attribute. And they are despisers of those that are good.
Sure.
Then it tells us that they are traitors. And if we have ever witnessed this attribute, we see, if we've ever witnessed it in any generation, I mean, you know, we go back to the Revolutionary War, and there was one guy named Benedict Arnold. But most of the administration are traitors. Most of our congressmen are traitors. Most of our senators are traitors. Anybody that's a globalist in government is a traitor to their nation, because they prefer other government over their own government. Traitors. And if we've ever witnessed this attribute, we see it in our government and in the globalists that run it. It show more of this attribute than at any other time in history. Globalism is proof enough that we have traitors among us. Now, the next attribute is heady. And I think it's very interesting that the word means clever or shrewd. And the definition is followed with an example of the word used in a complete sentence, a heady scheme to win the election. That's actually out of the dictionary. Next, we see they are high-minded, which means they are so caught up into their own high principles that they cannot many times see the common-sense approach to solving a problem. Then we follow up with lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. From the Easter Seal, Brother Bramson, now notice, long have we, we're losing our identification. We come on Wednesday night, some of us. Others stay home to watch Who Loves Susie. Televisions, all kinds of worldly things, all kinds of entertainment to keep you away from church. Long have we lost it. Our seminaries, our schools are putting out a bunch of rickies with a whole lot of theology and entertainment and everything in the church to take the place of prayer meeting. We took dress and tried to fulfill what the modernists try to do and bring them in. You'll never win them by that. They got more than you have. You ain't got no business on their ground. Let them come on your ground where the real baptism is shining, where the real power of the resurrection. And from marriage and divorce, he said, or marriage of the Lamb, he said, now, but now, what if this woman gets married and takes all these vows and everything, and she becomes this man's husband, and she's heir to all he's got and so forth, and then she goes wild. She starts off on a tantrum. She starts off running after other men. Not only that, but she's sharing her love with others. A man with his wife, all the promises that they've made, and then she goes out and starts sharing her life with others, her love and her affection with others. That's what too many so-called Christians do, sharing your love with the world, playing, dancing, gambling, staying home from prayer meeting to watch television, all kinds of worldly things that took the place of the love of God in the church's heart. She's gone on a tantrum. She's gone wild. She's gone out after other men. She's sharing her love. She'll take her tithings that she should give to the church and she'll spend it on other things out there in the world. Instead of loving God the way that she should and living for God and loving to come to church, you almost have to persuade her to come. So Brother Ram's talking about, you know, the motive and the objective is not there. The people come and they just kind of sit in a pew and they kind of just, you know, hopefully they can make it through service. Instead of coming and saying, Lord, what can I have for me to get me ready for the rapture? What can I have to change me and make me more like you? Amen. And Paul says, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So this is the church he's speaking of, so-called Christians. Now, 67% of Americans call themselves Christians. I hate to pop their bubble, but to use the word Brother Branham did, but they're more of a paint than they are a saint. In fact, actually, it's higher than that because the ABC News stated in a survey, 83% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. And I'll bet you 81% of those people don't even know what the term Christian means. Christian doesn't mean you go to a church that's Catholic or Lutheran or Pentecostal or whatever. Christian doesn't even mean that you believe in Jesus. Christian means you're Christ-like. 83% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. Most of the rest, 13%, have no religion. That just leaves 4% as adherents of all non-Christian religions combined, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and a smattering of individual missions. Now, this nation would have been better off had they not claimed to be Christians. Their judgment would be less severe. It says, having a form of godliness, we continue, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. From such. It doesn't say from the ones that don't have the form of godliness. It says, turn away from those who call themselves Christian, but they deny the power thereof. Then Paul goes on to describe the kind of activities these thorny Christians adhere to. For of this sort are they which creep into houses of worship, churches, and lead captive silly women, church people, because women in the Bible always types of church, laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that word knowledge is the Greek word gnosko, and it means experiential knowledge. In other words, they might have a head knowledge, but they don't have an intimate relationship with it. Why? They're church people, but without the Holy Ghost. These are not God's seed. These are fakers. They have just enough religion to know the difference between a carnal person and a criminal, but they haven't got they haven't got the power of an endless life. Now, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, ran in opposition to them. So do these also resist the truth. In other words, religious, yet they oppose the truth. They resist it, and it shows that they have not been renewed in their mind. In fact, they are men of corrupt minds, he goes on. This word corrupt was translated from the Greek word, which means their minds have wasted away, become deprived, shriveled, or withered away, morally bankrupt. Now, we've all known what Brother Branham said about Ephesus. He said, no, we need another Ephesus or another Ephesians. But he said, in the first Ephesus, he says it means relaxed and drifting. He said they didn't, you know, toward the end of the age, he said they got loose. And they didn't hold to what they used to hold to. They didn't do what they used to do. And they began reading things they wouldn't read before. And they began doing things they wouldn't do before. That's this hour. And these church members are reprobate concerning the faith. Now, the word reprobate concerning the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ, they're reprobate, they're castaways, they are rejected altogether concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. So they go to church. 83% of them, they go to church, they call themselves Christians. They believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That makes them your brother, Brother Brown said. And yet they're reprobate concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. You know, we had a man named Bill Clinton who was president of the United States. He'd walk around with a big old Bible, then he'd go in and do things that a moral man wouldn't do. Claimed to be a Baptist, and yet, did you know that the night before the 2000, let's see, what was it, the 90, was it the 92 and the 96 election? He was down in Haiti. You know what he's doing down in Haiti? He was having voodoo. He went to a place they were doing voodoo to ensure that he would win the election. These people are into witchcraft. They're into Moloch. They're into the owl, you know, the pagan worship that God hates. Hillary's a witch. You say, well, you shouldn't call people names. No, she is a witch. She attends a COVID. This is all coming out, maybe Monday. These are things that these WikiLeaks are exposing, and these laptops are exposing. These people are evil. Our nation is being run by pagans. Not just pagans, devil-worshipping pagans. And I believe we're seeing this today. What has been hidden is suddenly coming into view. They don't want a gospel with teeth. They want something smooth and easy to listen to. They don't want the flaming fire of the gospel to burn out their hearts, anything that's contrary to God's word. They want a preacher that is smooth and soft and non-invasive to their comfort zone. From God's wrath gift, Brother Branson, the churches didn't want him because he disagreed with their creed. He told them what they were. He said, "You generation of vipers, you whited walls." He called them everything that he could that he could be taught of. Told old Herod, said, "Go tell that fox, and what's dirtier than a fox? What's more stinking and low down than a dirty old fox?" And Jesus said, "That's what he is." So he called black black and called white white, and he called wrong wrong and right right. So they didn't want that. The churches today don't want a pastor filled with the Holy Ghost that'll really boil out and tell you what's right and what's wrong. They don't want that. They fire him right quick. Deacon Board would get together and turn him out, turn him away, get one another, get another one. We'll talk about their creeds. That's what people go to Methodist church because they believe in a Methodist creed. They go to a Baptist church because they believe in a Baptist creed. Pentecostal because they believe in the Pentecostal creed. And in this message, we've got churches just that way. What do you come to church here for? Oh, because it's a parousia church. It is. We believe all the Bible. We believe every bit of it. When God's wrath gifts, Brother Brown said, they don't want it. It'll make a woman act different. It'll make men act different. You'll have to bear the name of the fanatic. You'll have to take the way with the Lord's despised few. You'll have to clean up your life. You'll have to quit your meanness. You'll have to stop doing wrong, cheating and stealing and lying and committing adultery. You'll have to stop these things, and people don't want it. Although they may know it's right, but they don't want it. It brings too much truth to them. It uncovers their sin, so therefore they don't want it. They don't want nothing to do with it. Keep away from it. Now, in continuing our study, let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. And how do you try the spirits to see whether they be of God? You give them the word test. Because many false prophets, he says, preachers and teachers, are gone out into the world, and hereby know you the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is, present tense, not past tense, is come in the flesh, is of God. Now, this little word is very important because this is not saying that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh as though we're looking back. But John is saying, is come in the flesh, is present tense, is come in the flesh. Now, what does that mean? Well, from Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Branson, we'd come to the altar and pray all night, go back and fast 10 days and come back and pray again. We might cry, and I believe in all of that. That's all right. But we might do all of that and still not be saved. Until we, in our heart, can believe that Christ died in our stead and reckon ourselves as sinners and accept his righteousness. And when we do that and accept him, he stands before the Father then to make good the confession. That's right. And the same thing by his stripes. By his stripes we were healed. And what does confess mean? Confess means to say the same thing. Don't say nothing contrary, but say what he said. Then will be Abraham's children, which could call those things as though they were not, as though they were, when God had said something about it. Now from Jehovah Jireh, he said, it is only the love of the Father that loves us so much that he sends his word. He sends his ministers to preach the word. Then he sends gifts into the church with his arms spread out, trying to get you to believe it. He wants to heal you tonight 1,000 times more than you want to be healed, but you're afraid. You go by how you feel because you've regarded that. You've lived by your feelings. See, that your whole life has been wrapped in that. But you must get away from that and act on God's word, not what you feel, not what you see, but what God said, and act on that. Make a confession. Now listen, act on that and make a confession. Confession means to say the same thing. And he's at the right hand of the Father with his own blood to make intercession on your confession. Now, he cannot do anything for you until first you accept it and confess it, and then he can act on it. For he is a high priest of your of what you confess that he is to you. Do you get what I mean? So when Brother Brown is talking about, we go back, we're talking about, or John is talking about, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Whose flesh? Your flesh. In other words, everyone who was born again. And Brother Brown said, no man can call Jesus the Christ except it be by the Holy Ghost. He said, now you might say it because your pastor said it, or you might say it because your husband said it. But he said, but until you see it in you. And that's the trouble that we have with the churches is people come to church. Some come for the music. They come because they like to sing. Other people come because they like to hear doctrine, or they like to hear a preacher because maybe he's eloquent or something like that. And I'm sorry, but I'm not. But we come, what? Why do we come to church? Correction. Correction begins in the house of God. And we're washed by the washing of water by the word. Now, hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus, that says the same thing that Jesus said, is come in the flesh, is God. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in their flesh acts like him. Now listen. From attitude, who is God? Brother Brown said, when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you. Now remember, God will make your body come into your confession. If you say that you're a drunkard and want to drink, don't worry, you'll soon be one. If you say you're a sinner and want to sin, you'll be right into it. If you say you're a Christian and believe it all along, God will bring, now, your testimony will bring you right into it. So when we go back here, he says, hereby know you the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses, so your confession will bring you right into it. You see? And God will make your body obey your confession, for he's the high priest of your confession, sitting at the right hand of the Father, now with his own blood, to make intercession for any confession upon anything that he died for. And he died to rid sin, and sickness is the result of sin. He was wounded for our transgression, and with his stripes we are healed. Now remember that, have faith, and don't waver, and stand on it. Again, from questions and answers, Brother Branson, now the law of sin and death works in your flesh, but the law of the Spirit of life works in your heart. So your heart, your spirit in your heart, will make your body obey what it says do. I want you to hold on, and that's exactly right. Now I want you to hold on to this thought, because I'm going to show you a quote in a few minutes where Brother Brown says the very same thing. Now, notice, so your heart, your spirit in your heart, your spirit in your heart will make your body obey what it, what's that, your spirit in your heart says to do. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh and does not step into that confession like him is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist wherewith ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God, he that can know knows God, he that has an intimate experiential relationship with God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I want to go into break down those words a little bit more. Notice, he that has an intimate relationship with God heareth us. And remember, he tells us in Matthew 13 that hearing means to recognize, to understand, and to perceive. But he that is not of God heareth us not, doesn't perceive, doesn't understand, etc. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 3, we read, wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Of course, Brother Brown said, you might say those words, but he said, but it's not a true revelation to you until you get the Holy Ghost. Now, from the Queen of Sheba, Brother Ransom, the Bible said that no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you don't know that he's the Christ yet. Notice, you don't know it. Remember that. You're only walking towards that light. You can say, well, my pastor says so. Well, that's true. My Bible says so. Well, that's true. My mother says so. Well, that's true. My church believes it's the Holy Ghost. Well, that's true. But what about you? As an individual, you don't know until you received it. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, then you are a witness that he's alive forevermore. Now, the Holy Ghost is within you now, and then you watch him as he works. If the life of Christ is in you, it will produce his life in you. Now, what do you mean by that? He's saying, look, you're not out there trying to imitate. You're not out there trying to do. Simply put, you're watching him at work in you. Can you all say that together? Let me rephrase that. Okay, let's put it this way. We are watching him. Let's say it together. We are watching him in me. That's it. That's when you can truly know that he is the Christ. He is the anointer, because you are anointed. Now, the Holy Ghost is within you now, and then you watch him as he works. If the life of Christ is in you, it will produce his life in you. The works that I do, shall you do also the same works, because it's the same life. Now listen, there are people that say that Brother Branham was the only person that had the life of Christ in this hour. Well, that's like a brother back in the 60s said, well, Brother Branham was the only man that had the Holy Ghost. Well, if he's the only man that had the Holy Ghost, then there isn't a church. There isn't a bride. Because she's word of his word and spirit of his spirit. Now, the same works, because it's the same life. If the life is in a watermelon vine, produces a watermelon. Well, the next branch that comes out, it'll produce another watermelon. Every time, it'll be a watermelon. And if the church is really anchored in Christ, every church will write a book of Acts behind it. Every church. That's exactly right. Because the first one wrote a book of Acts behind it, so there we are. In 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as, or in the same way, he, God, is righteous. He that doeth what is right, for by their fruits you shall know them. Proverbs 11:5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceived. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Malachi. I'm going to read from Malachi 3:16-18. Then they that feared the Lord, now there's your key to understanding the scripture right there, that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him, or in his presence, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Notice he's telling us there's going to be a specific time, specific day. There'll be people who actually fear the Lord, and God will make a book of remembrance of what they say to one another. And they will discern between righteous, rightly wise, and those that are wicked. Between him that serves God and him that serves him not. But who is God? He's the Word. Notice the attribute of God, see here. They will discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Now, while we're looking at this, let me just add, there's a big difference between a man who is simply a sinner and them who are called wicked. A sinner is one who has just missed the mark. But the wicked are those who actively are bad people. In other words, the difference between a serpent seed who is wicked, there's no place in his heart for the Word, and a foolish virgin who is just a sinner. Ezekiel 44:23-24 tells us, and they teach my people the difference between the holy and profane. And they cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. So, they shall judge it according to my judgment. Even as Jesus said, look, I didn't come to judge. There's only one that judges, and that's the Word. And the Word will judge in the last day. Now, trying to do God a service without his will, Brother Branham said, let us pray. O church here and across the nation, listen to your humble servant this morning. Will you? Look where you were. Look where you were at a few years ago when this first started. Now look what impersonations has capitalized on it, and great millions and billions of dollars has flowed into their organizations. See? Still away from the Word of God. Building in organizations is not the way God stirs his people. He stirs it right into his Word to make it live. And if you are ordained from the beginning of the earth to that Word, then every word will come right on top of Word, on top of Word. Like a human cell will not have one human cell, and then the next cell a dog or a cat, and the next cell a cat, and it'll all be human cells. But it's got to have a cell first to start with. Is that right? Say amen. Well, if it is the Word, if it is the Word cell to start with, then the other Word cells are ordained to make it a full body. Don't be children, or only in love, but be men in spirit and in judgment. Judge ye whether I told you the truth or not. Judge ye whether it's the Word of God or not. Judge ye whether it's the hour we're talking about or not. Judge ye whether these things are promised or not. Now, are they vindicated by things that there's a human, that there's not a human being in all the world could do it, but it's become so common to us till we're letting it flow right on past us? Wait, church. Wait. You see, we're called to judge. People say we shouldn't judge. No, we are called to judge. He said, you're supposed to judge whether I'm telling you the truth or not. You're supposed to judge whether this is the Word of God or not. That's why we have this up here. You can read for yourselves. Judge for yourselves. Is this God's Word or is it not God's Word? In Luke 12:56 we read, he says, you know, you're hypocrites. Jesus talking to the Pharisees, you're hypocrites. You can discern the sky, the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern this time? How is it you can't discern the day that you're living? How is it you can't discern the Word for the hour that you're living? How is it that you can't discern the promises to you, for you, in the hour that you're living? And Hebrews 5:14, The strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And in closing, I'd like to read from Oneness of Unity. Brother Branham said, just recently I could feel the Spirit in the meeting. And you all who are sending your letters in as an apology for the first night or two to believe that it was some kind of a mental setup, but now you're convinced, sure, I forgive you. God does too, and the Lord bless you, certainly. Now, when the meeting's going on, and an evil spirit is in the meeting, and that spirit is almost harmless until it can catch somebody that it can work through. Then when it can work through, it'll certainly do damage, because it is an evil spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here trying to find somebody to work through. And when it finds somebody to work through, it can do good. See, the two spirits, their motives and objectives. Now watch how it is. Watch their works. Watch their fruits. Then you can see what spirit is on you. And it concludes with, you are motivated by spirit. If you have no spirit, you're dead. And if you have a spirit, it motivates your life. And if your life bears the fruit of a Christian, it's a Christian spirit. And you know what? If it's a Christian spirit, it's going to make, and it's going to be over there on the other side. Now you may be filled. Now watch. Watch this evil spirit. When he goes out, he walks in dry places, hunting a place to find rest. The Bible said that he could not find it. So it says, I will return back to where I come out of. He goes back to this person that he once was in, and he finds a house all swept out, cleaned up, sanctified, all condemnation gone. Oh, just a real happy believer. But it's empty. And he says, come here, and seven other spirits, worse than he was, will you please try to get this? The Bible said that's the truth. Jesus said it's the truth. And he comes back to this house, a man who has confessed Christ to be a Savior, got rid of his wickedness, has quit his drinking, quit his smoking, quit his lying, quit his stealing, and he has become sanctified, cleaned out. His house is all swept up. He feels free, so he comes back and he finds that house. Then he goes and he gets seven other spirits worse than he was, and he comes into this person. And the Bible said the last estate of that man is seven times worse than it was at the beginning. This is the condition of the churches in this world, in this message, and those who call themselves Christians. This is the condition of the people in those churches. Now, I'm not saying everybody. But I'm saying that if you have come to the place where you've given your life to Christ, you believe you have, but you haven't got the Holy Ghost, you better watch out. Because unless you get the Holy Ghost, your house is open. And it's open for temptation, it's open for lust, it's open for everything else. And you're inviting it. Let's turn to Matthew, and we'll read what Jesus said about it. Matthew 12:43. And when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. You know, when a person leaves Christ, you know what? You've got to go back to where you left him. People think, well, I can just jump on these people here, and then I'll go over here, go somewhere else here, and then say, oh, I have a wonderful experience with God. Now I'm living for Jesus. No, you're not, because you have to come back here where you dumped on these people here. You have to go back to where you left Christ to pick him up and move on from there. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Nice house to go back to. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now, this is the most wicked generation besides the days of Noah, because it is as it was in the days of Noah. This nation has gone into Satanism and everything else, and people, look, Brother Branham told us they're worshiping the God of this evil age. And they don't even know it. Having a form of godliness, 83% call themselves Christian. But just because they say it, it doesn't make it so. So where do we, as individuals, sit tonight? Is the house swept and clean? Is that as far as we've gone? Or is Christ living your life for you? Has He come in and taken over your vessel? Let's bow our heads. Gracious Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we ask You, Father, to come into us, O God. Live our life for us. As Paul said, I am crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the revelation of the Son of God. Thank You, Father, for Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we have the deacons bring forth the elements, we'll change order of service to communion. And I just like to say, you know, I get letters all the time from brothers overseas. And they have this problem. They say, you know, I'm living for Christ. I'm doing the best I can. I'm really sold out to this message. But I'm really struggling. I'm really finding a lot of temptation. And I'm really struggling. And I have to write back and say, well, brother, you haven't died to yourself. You know, they ask me, well, how can I get the Holy Ghost? I say, you got to die first. If you like anything about yourself, God ain't coming into you. You got to detest. In fact, Brother Matthew, you got to not just die, you got to rot. You've got to rot to yourself. Let's turn to John chapter 13. I'm just going to close out this.